Yeah, but Lord, be according to the travail of your womb, the travail of your soul. I would reward thee with life, and you might bring forth after that which ye desire. Yea, I reward thee after the mouth that you travail and yearn and long after me. Yea, long with all your heart for the victory and the joy and the complete manifestation of my conquering power in your heart. And that I will give it to you. For yea, I reward them that diligently seek me. Yea, I reward thee as ye obey me, as ye love and ye strive to know me. Then yield yourself to turn away from sin and from the flesh, and I will cause thee to conquer. Yea, travail, and ye shall be rewarded. Receive it now, and joy in the God of your salvation. For I desire to give thee all things, for I have given you all things in Christ, but only travail and desire and yearn after me.
We thank God that again we have the appetite to come before the dining table of God to feast on some very heavy food. I wouldn't want to be caught in any other congregation beside a congregation like this with the kind of food that I feel pressed upon me to give you tonight. I always like to know that I am obeying God, always want to obey God. Sometimes it's rather hard to do. But tonight, the Word of God has been completely confirmed by prophecy. And I want to tell you, we have heard some prophecy tonight, and it would be good for you to take the tapes and to re-listen to what you heard, because you know a prophet is judged by the prophecy he gives. And the prophecy that comes tonight seems to me, I don't know if I'm slightly biased, but it seems to me to be of a different, pardon me, a different sort than it has been for some time. Praise the Lord. It was only a flashbulb. That the Lord is desperately saying something to this people. I believe it. I believe if we have ears to hear, we are going to hear something, and we have heard something that many other people are not hearing. Now, as to why God wants us to be alerted, I can imagine that He has something else to tell us. This is not the final word, but that we are being alerted, for He said, "Watch, I say unto you, watch. For if the good man of the house had watched, his house would not be broken up." So that means there is a breaking up of house ahead of us, for He was talking about that imminent coming of Jesus Christ, and He said that some people's houses are going to be smashed because they are not watching. And so I'm begging you, dear ones, please take up your Bibles and turn with me to Revelation chapter 6. Very heavy business. But at any time, you can interrupt if you feel the Spirit. Make sure it's the Spirit of God telling you to do it. You can interrupt me and ask a question. For if I I will feel if you are in the spirit, and the rest of the brothers and sisters here will know you. So you can interrupt, you're free. Anytime you feel that. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. We are going to talk tonight about the sixth seal. You have always heard about these different seals, and yet somehow they have not been made real to you, in that you have not really known what the seals are. The seals are the different areas of the gospel, or God's revelation for a time, which has been shut up, which has not been revealed to man. And in the end time, God has promised to break all the seals, including the seventh seal, which is the seal. Amen. And we find that many of these seals have already been broken. And although the seals have been broken, there are some people who still remain benighted, dark, not understanding. For instance, if I ask you, when did you get saved? Each person here will give me a different date. Some persons here, let me see, any old man here? I know some people who are saved for 50 years. 20 years of that 50 years, I was in darkness, running around, and didn't know that there was a God to save, much more to be saved. I've been saved for 30 years, and there are some 20 years, some 10 years, some 5 years, some 6 months, some 3 months. I wonder if there's any 1 month baby here. But you see, what happened to you when you were saved? You only found out at that time that a certain seal was opened, which was the seal of salvation. You just discovered it. And yet, it was opened long ago. So there are seals in our time to be opened. And these seals will bring certain manifestations in the earth, and man, at the same time, the church, will get certain revelations. For God will not let certain things happen until you have certain revelations. Amen? God said in the seventh chapter of Revelation, let's turn to that first, and let me show you something there. In the seventh chapter here, we saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel, a fifth angel, this is the ministry, from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth, saying, hurt not the earth, the carnal man, neither the tree, the sea, the nations, nor the trees, the Christians, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Meaning to say, there is a certain sealing of the mind. God is doing a job on your minds. God is putting a seal upon the conscious man, so that you will be able to resist every other mark on earth, including the mark of the beast. And those people who have the seal of God in their foreheads, in other words, you have tasted of the wedding feast. The gospel of Jesus Christ has made you impervious to the works of the enemy, you will not take the mark of the beast. You can't take it. You won't take it. You won't get it. I remember a little story from Wormbrand. He was saying what they did to him. They wired his head, his brain, and they bombarded him with all kinds of communist literature. And they had him there for I don't know how long. And when he came out of it, he was only a babbling person. He could only be babbling. He didn't know where he was. He didn't know what he was saying. But you know what he was saying? Jesus. 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 And when the effects wore off, all that Jesus gave him, the gospel came back. They didn't do one thing to his mind, although they tried. Hallelujah. That means to say we have a spiritual block, a seal in the mind. Hallelujah. And this seal is not only going to stop the enemy from marking us with the mark of the beast, which the mark of the beast is not a natural mark. The mark of the beast is a spiritual mark on man's mind. When you get to their colleges and they teach you and they indoctrinate you so that you come out speaking their words, so that you are brainwashed, this is the mark of the beast. Amen. It is a brainwashing process. And I'm telling you that the fifth angel is the ministry which God has sent to mark you. Did you hear that? He said, and the fifth angel came forth, and he said, don't hurt them, don't touch them, don't kill the sinners, don't kill the nations, don't do anything until we have sealed. A many-membered ministry body is the fifth angel. Did you notice that? That the angel said we, and the scripture said it was one angel, and he said we. It's the many-membered ministry that God has put in the earth today. Each man having a little part of a perfect whole. Amen. And these men and women are sealing the people of the world with the gospel and with the word for the end time. Now, God wants to put a word before you. If you accept this word, you will get another word at another time. Maybe in the secret chamber. Maybe from another ministry, but you will get another word at another time, when that will be the time to move, to act, I'm talking about. Now, let's get to this sixth seal. But before we get to the sixth seal, let me run you down on some of what is happening so that we know where we are. I believe we are at the fifth seal. I believe we are at the fifth seal, and I want you to read that for me. Verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they had. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. So you see that in the end time there is to be another persecution of the saints, and some more saints are to be killed. Did you know that? Yes, some saints are to be killed, and there are some special saints that God is at this time preparing to be killed. And this is the trap that God is setting for the devil. I can talk it out aloud and let the devil hear. You know why? He wasn't going to believe anyhow. Amen. Now, isn't that amusing? That the devil hears this, the devil reads the Bible, and the devil hears it, but he can't believe because he's the devil. So we can talk out our business. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And it says here that these brethren are to be killed, and it will fulfill a scripture. In other words, there is a lamb company being provided by God at this time. Some of you here might be in that glorious company who will receive immortality before the rest of the church. Is it a strange doctrine? Then take your pencil and make a note, and you ask the question when the question time comes. But there is a first fruits company who must resurrect before the rest of the church, and these will demonstrate the power of resurrection. Hallelujah. And they will possess immortality even before they die. And because they know that if they lay down their lives, they're going to lift it up again, they are going to deliberately lay down their lives. Like Jesus, just like him. And God's going to play the Jesus thing in a large scale all over the earth. Greater works shall he do than these, for I go. You see, in other words, sinners did not believe that Jesus raised from the dead. Well, for the end time sinner, God is going to put up a demonstration and a show. He's going to allow his people to die. He's going to allow them to be dead for 3.5 days, just exactly like Brother Lazarus. And he's going to allow them to rise again from the grave, just like Brother Jonah. 3.5 days in the belly of the whale. Brother Lazarus, 3.5 days dead, raised again and manifest before people to show forth the glory of God. Glory to God. He's going to get a people to do this. And no man will be able to deny that this indeed is resurrection. Amen. Can you imagine them going around feeling these boys?
Hallelujah.
He's flesh and blood, flesh and bone. I don't think he'll have any blood. But the spirit, you see, you are a dual purpose machine. You don't like to be called a machine, eh? Well, God made you as a natural, physical operation. But you can operate on spirit. You can live without food. It's just that we haven't reached a place yet where we can digest the energy of the spirit and just live without eating for months and months and years. You understand? But God said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So you are constructed in such a way that you can eat with your mind, you can feed with your mind and get energy. Amen. When Samson lifted off the gate of Gaza, it was not his physical energy that did it. It was what happened to him in the spirit. Amen. And God is saying that a people will come on earth who will feed from the heavenlies. Amen. Now, let's go on. Verse 12. And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, one big, great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. The moon didn't become blood. The moon became as blood. I mean, it was red. Amen. And the stars of heaven fell onto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Now, I want you to notice these verses, because these verses are not natural happenings. These verses, 12 to verse 14, is a spiritual happening that must be translated. How do you know that? Because first of all, the stars will never fall from heaven, not the natural stars, because if one of those natural stars fall on the earth, that would be the end of the earth. So if the stars are going to fall on the earth, we're going to have to ask God, what's the meaning of this? Secondly, it says that where verse 14, the heavens that parted as a scroll. The Bible says that the heavens are made for God and the earth is for man. And God made the earth and all these planets around the earth, and he said in his word four places in the scripture say that the earth abideth forever. Amen. One scripture speak of heaven passing away. Jesus said heaven and earth may pass away. And you're going to have to get a translation for that too, because that is not speaking about the natural heaven, the stars up there and the earth down here. Amen. Now, so if you look at the whole thing, you will see that he's talking about a spiritual happening. Now you say, but Brother Dusil, didn't Jesus Christ say that there are going to be great earthquakes just before he comes? Sure, but he didn't say a great earthquake. He said great earthquakes. And right now we are seeing the greatest earthquakes in the world that we have ever seen. So this scripture is being fulfilled and will be fulfilled. But when you talk about a great earthquake, what are we talking about? Now let's turn our Bibles to see if we can find what John saw. Turn your Bibles to Matthew 24 and since we read Matthew 24 so often, let me read the same thing in Luke 21. It has a little different picture, and I can read both, but I'll read this one first. And there shall be Luke 21 verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see Jesus. If you see that, then turn your Bibles back now to Matthew, and let's read it there. The same thing in different words. Verse 7, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. Now, I want you to notice, brethren, that all these two scriptures speak of earthquakes, and we are dealing with end time signs, and these will happen. But this great earthquake here is exactly what this chapter says. Nation shall rise against nation. If you check your Bible very carefully, Bible students, you'll notice that the word earth is sometimes used in a metaphorical sense, in a sense to say we are talking about the man that is carnal. The earthy man, the carnal man. So earth here represents the carnal man, and he said there shall be wars and rumors of wars. So nation shall rise against nation. This is the great earthquake. There is going to be a great war. This is how I see it. Now, you ask the question, Brother Dussel, couldn't you preach some bright, lively thing to us that we could leap and jump and praise the Lord and go home shouting and say, you know, I would feel very guilty if I left here and didn't tell you what the Lord told me to tell you. And that when I came into Florida, God gave me this message, and I feel that I have a duty to you to deliver it to you, that you may be prepared for what is just ahead. Amen. And so the sixth seal is about to open. This is what I see, that the sixth seal is about to open. God would not do anything like this unless he sent some messenger to you to tell you that the sixth seal is about to open. In other words, what I'm doing to you now, I'm exciting your minds. You are going to start asking God. Then God will begin to speak to the body of the church, to tell you, to convince you for yourself, so that you don't get yourself so involved in anything that when God speaks to you, you can't hear or you can't move upon what God says you are to do. Amen. You knew it was going to open one day, don't you? Well, I believe that we are in the days of the opening of the sixth seal. You know something? I'm going to tell you a story. It's a story that you know already. That God sent me here, and that 15, 20 years ago, God showed me that he's sending me to the United States with a message just before the destruction. And I never ever forgot those words. Just before the destruction. And my first impression was that I would rush to the United States, run through quickly, give a message, and get out of there. I want you to know that we have just got a house in Florida, and we're going to wait there to see this destruction. Amen. The servant of God have no life. Your life belongs to God. Then why worry? Why worry about it if it belongs to God? If it's God's time and he wants to take you to glory, then you should be glad to go shout with the saints. Amen. What you worrying about? So brethren, we have seen it. We have seen more than we say. We believe that we understand it. And we're going right in the mouth of it. Because we feel that's where the Lord showed us that we would be. Amen. The Lord show you where you will be. Try to be there. Amen. You know, some of us move up and down and we don't move with the leadership of the Spirit of God. It is absolutely necessary in this hour that every Christian who is going to move from one place to another is moving with the right motive and is moving in the Spirit of God. Obedience to the Spirit of God. Amen. If you don't know where to move to, stay where you are. Amen. If you need to move, God will tell you. If God don't tell you, stay put. Amen. Praise be to God. Now, therefore, the great earthquake mentioned in verse 12 is the great war we are talking about. And he said, the sun shall be black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon become as blood. And I do believe that if we do have a war, we would quickly realize what's happened. And we would see a red moon and a black sun. Amen. I believe we would see it. And this would be because of the particles of dust that would be in the air between us and the sun and between us and the moon. I believe a real atomic war would just literally blot our sun out. Amen. Now, this is not revelation. This is my belief. This is what I believe. But that the word earthquake here means a war, that is revelation. Do you understand me? I want you to be with me. Amen. Because you are going to correct me when I make a mistake. Amen. And you're going to do it publicly right here now. When we start asking questions, you're going to get up and say, I don't believe that. Amen. And then the Lord will either make you believe the right or correct me. Amen. Isn't that fair? That's fair. That's how I like to preach. Amen. Now, we go to the 13th verse. The stars of heaven fell upon the earth. The scripture definitely said that the stars fell upon the earth. So there's no way to get away from it and say, well, this is a natural star that's going to fall on the earth. But the Bible said the star fell on the earth. And I believe that the word stars, you Bible students, check your Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and you see that the word stars always refer to the sons of God. I give you one place to start. The 12 sons of Jacob when this little boy, Joseph, had a dream. And he dreamt that the sun and the moon and the 11 stars bowed down to him. Amen? Hallelujah. And the stars they referred to definitely meant his brothers. Yes. They were the patriarchs of Israel. The 12 patriarchs of Israel, and they were seen in his vision as a star, each one as a star. Do you understand now? That it means here that these the sons of God in our time, we are going to see a lot of mighty men of God fall. You know what I believe? I believe that they're going to be a shower this year of stars. I believe a great many of these mighty men are going to fall down right before us this year to the earth. Come from their high gospel standards and fall down to the natural, carnal, physical realm. And we are going to see their fall. I believe it's going to happen this year. Amen? Now, if you want another scripture to give you an idea that the stars here really mean sons of God, turn your Bibles with me around to Revelation chapter 1. There is something I'm going to tell you about Revelation. Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ in the church. That is, the things that are written in Revelation are things which will come forth in you and in the end time church that have never been manifested before. Amen? Some people believe Revelation is history. But if you read the first verse, you would change your mind. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto Jesus Christ, to show it unto his servants, things which must shortly come to pass. So it's future things. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. So revelation is a revelation of Jesus Christ in the body. Hallelujah. Now, if you read the 20th verse of that chapter 1, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. The word angels here is a word that means the messengers. These seven stars are the men who God sent as messengers to the seven areas of the church. And the candlestick which thou sawest are the seven churches. Praise the Lord. Now, let's get back then to Revelation 6. I hope you're getting down into the meat of it. You know, I think you worded it to give you a heavy, heavy food tonight. So, I want you to listen to it and to see why God is telling you this. He said here that the stars fell, and this is what is going to happen. And I want to read for you another place where the stars fell, which complement this place. So turn your Bibles back to Revelation 12. And in verse 4, it says, and his tail, speaking of the dragon, drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was delivered. Now, here again we have symbolic language. The dragon here is not the first dragon, but this dragon is the second dragon. Now, the second dragon is the dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns. Now, the first dragon only had one head. You remember where he was found? He was the serpent in the garden with Eve, when the Spirit of God spoke to him and said, the seed of the woman is going to do what? Come on, bruise what? One head. Okay? No sooner than that head was bruised, he got 6 more. God said he was going to bruise the serpent's head. God bruised the serpent's head, and the serpent called, get the church to backslide and turn against God and give him 6 more heads. You want to prove it? You turn to Revelation 13. Turn to Revelation 13 and you see here that that head was well wounded and it couldn't live according to what God had done to him in Calvary. But verse 3, and I saw one of the heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And the world wandered after the beast. Who healed it? The church. The only person who could heal the wound of the devil was the person who had the sword to finish him off. And instead of finishing off Satan, the church healed his wound. That's a whole long preaching again. Because a certain thing in the world here, a certain organization, has that fullness of Satan, and the devil will come forth and manifest in human form. You hear me? The devil will come forth and manifest in human form in a certain organization in the world. And this will be the center candlestick of Satan. If you notice in Revelation 1, there was a candlestick, and God said it was a church. You remember that? And right in the middle candlestick, one came forth like the Son of God. That means one church is going to come forth in the fullness of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what the Bible says. Then, the same thing God does, the devil is going to do it. One group, one organization is going to come forth in the full image of the devil. You want me to read it for you? Verse 11 and chapter 13. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spake like a dragon. It is a church organization, brethren. Judas had to be a bishop. Judas had to be an apostle. Judas had to be a miracle worker. Judas had to be a Pentecostal person. You hear me? You know why? The Bible said his bishopric was taken away, and his place was given to another. If he wasn't that, he couldn't qualify as the son of perdition. The son of perdition must come from the church. You hear me? I'm not going into the details of that, but you can take a note of it. And you can ask the questions when the time comes. Now, he said, the heavens, verse 14, departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Now that starry heaven up there will never pass away, will never roll up like a scroll. It's going to have to be something else that God is talking about. And what God is really talking about is the heaven in which we now dwell. For if you turn back to Revelation 12, where you see the war going on between Satan and the church, you notice in verse 7, its scripture says, and there was war in heaven. Which heaven? Can there be war in God's heaven, where God lives, where there is peace, where there is joy, where there is neither sorrow nor sighing, where there is eternal bliss? It couldn't be that heaven. It's got to be some other heaven. As a matter of fact, this heaven we are looking at here is not a perfect heaven at all. It is an imperfect heaven. So where is this imperfect heaven? I'll tell you after I tell you the definition of heaven. Heaven is the dwelling place of God. Amen? Heaven is the dwelling place of God. You know any place that God lives? Down here? Yeah. Within my spirit, soul, and body, God is purifying this heaven to make his eternal habitation. One day, when I walk down the street, it's going to be completely God walking down the street, because he will take full possession of both spirit, soul, and body. Hallelujah. And he will claim his heaven, and the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of God and his Christ. Jesus Christ will reign omnipotent from his throne room. Where is his throne room? Where is the throne room of Jesus? In your heart. Your soul is God's habitation. He said, sons and daughters, give me your heart and I will give you a kingdom. Hallelujah. When God can take you, then he can take the world out there. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we mustn't be hypocrites. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. I mean, God, take me and then take that world out there. Glory to God. I would be a hypocrite if I say, God, you take the world out there and then afterward take me. Amen. I've got to give me first, then the world next. For if God will reign in this realm, if God will take over the earth, then God must take over the Christian first. That's reasonable. So, we see we are heading up into something big. Amen. Something very big. He said the heavens will roll away, and God will create new heavens and new earth where dwelleth righteousness. And when God creates within me the perfect heaven wherein dwelleth righteousness, no more sin in the air, no more bad thoughts, no more mistakes, then I know that this heaven has rolled away and new heavens take its place. He said every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Amen. And I can imagine there, every time I read this, a little song comes to me, and it says, "No man is an island." And there is nothing else that explains this verse more to me. It said, "No man is an island." Some of us set up a kingdom. Some of us set up church kingdoms. You ever seen a church kingdom? Amen. Mr. So-and-so, brother so-and-so is the head of that kingdom. He is king there. He is boss of that church. He set up an island and he set himself as king. Amen. And God's going to move every mountain and every island. And blessed be to God. I'm glad that the scripture says he's going to put his foot upon Mount Olive. Amen. And it means to me that God's going to roll away the mountain that stands between him and Israel. The natural Israel. There is a mountain right now tonight standing between Jesus Christ and the natural Israelite. Amen. Because the natural Israel say they are worshiping God the Father, and they won't believe in Jesus. And God says he's going to put his feet on Mount Olive and split that mountain in two and make a highway. There will be a deliverance for the Jews. Amen. But we're not talking about that tonight. So let's go on. And it says, the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, every bondman, every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountain. We are talking about something so cataclysmic, something so horrible, that it will reduce mankind to one class. Everybody will be running to hide. Amen. You notice what it says? The bond man will be running, the free man will be running, and everybody will be running. And Jesus Christ is directing us to look at this just a little before I close. Let us look into a few scriptures. This morning, Brother Dubois showed us a scripture in the Isaiah. Let's look at it. Isaiah chapter 25. And for years and years, the Jews have been reading this in the Bible from Moses' time. They've been reading their Bibles. And comes Isaiah and come all these prophets. And for hundreds of years they have been reading these prophecies. And nobody but the modern man could get the revelation of this. Did you know that? Do you know that Jesus said that there are some things that would only be revealed to you? Before we read Isaiah, let me just make sure that you understand that. First of all, let's go back to Brother Daniel. Daniel said it in Daniel chapter 12. He says here in verse 3, "And the wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." Here again we see Daniel referring to the sons of God as stars. He said, "You shall shine as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel," the angel speaking, "shut up the book," the words, "and seal the book, even to the time of the end." When? To the time of the end. So he must have been talking until our time. Don't open the book until the time of the end, he says. Let's read a little more. many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. You can't want anything better than this. You can go down the bookstore or to the library, and you can pick out any piece of knowledge that you want in there. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two on the one side, so and so and so. But the idea that I wanted to show you is that he said, shut up that book. Amen. Then Jesus came along. And let's turn to John and hear what Jesus said. Brother John's gospel. And that was around 12, I think. The scripture I'm looking for here says that there are things that I could say to you, but I will not say them now. I will not say them now. But, it's 16, eh? Sorry. I think that's 16. No. 16:12. I have yet many things, thank you, to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Amen. He shall glorify me. This is one way you know a prophecy, whether it is of God or not, when it starts to glorify Jesus. For he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. Isn't this plain? That the Spirit of God will guide us into all truth. And if some truths are not to be revealed until the end of time, then it is the people who have the Holy Ghost who will receive that revelation. You see what I'm saying? Now, let's go to Brother John himself. You said, well, John was speaking some little time after Jesus. So let's hear from Brother John if he also is shutting up anything. If he gave us all the revelation. Brethren, turn to Revelation. Hallelujah. Chapter 10. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillar of fire, and he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw said unto stood upon the sea and upon the earth, lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which therein are, that there should be time no longer. Praise be to God. We are looking at a picture. John saw all this in the spirit, and God is saying to us tonight that there are seven secrets that the seven thunders uttered that John could not write, but which are to be revealed to the saints of the end time. And I believe God's going to tell his secrets to his prophets and to those ministries that are close to God. This is the reason I'm telling you, brethren, get close to God. Cry out with all your heart, be like Brother David. He said, as the heart panteth after the water brooks. A heart is an animal that goes in the desert, and sometimes it's so thirsty, it just pants. He says, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul panteth for God, for the living God. Beloved brethren, we will not be satisfied with bottled sermons. We will not be satisfied with dead meat. We will not be satisfied with half-baked cakes. We want the living Word of God with the fresh water flowing from the throne of Almighty God. Amen. This is a people God raised up with an appetite. We could stay here all night tonight and get into the Word, and by morning we'd be breaking forth with the power of the living God. I look forward to the time when we don't have our minds on going home. Amen. Well, glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We need to get together. We need to put our hearts together in one cry to God. Oh God, tonight reveal your Word to us. And every child that comes up here to give a word would break forth the bread, and the living bread and the water of God would flow in our souls. Hallelujah. We need it. Bless his holy name. Here, just a little piece of this revelation is being opened to you. A little piece of the mysteries that God had sealed for years. Many of the prophets inquired. Tonight in our midst, there are angels sitting here waiting to catch the message, the newest revelation, to take it back to the heavenlies. Do you remember that Peter, James, and John was in the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus as three human agents to take the message back to us? Amen. But there were agents from the heavenlies, some of our brothers, Moses and Elijah, came down to take the message back to the heavenlies. Why? Because the mysteries of God is revealed to the church. And the militant church, the church of God, the people of the living God, who are fighting the devil in close battle with the enemy, and the people who must overcome are the people who need the message. And when we get it, we pass it on to our brothers. And tonight, anything that is new that breaks forth, they will be discussing it, and they'll be going into it, and they will be watching the saints to see how it works out in your life. Because a truth that is not manifested in human form is not a truth. Amen. It's peculiar, brethren, but that message about God speaking to Abraham and say, Abraham, give your son, your only son, as an offering. And when Abraham struggled with himself, and as he went up the hill, his heart was heavy, and he struggled until he won the victory, and he took the knife, and he bound the boy, and he, with all determination, he was ready to offer him up to God. God said, it's not necessary. Abraham slew Isaac in his heart. And that's what God wants. The work was done inside of Abraham. Hallelujah. God must have the work done in you, in human vessels. We must struggle until we win. We must fight until we conquer. And this is what God is saying to human agents. You must appropriate, you must form Christ within you by the things you suffer, by the suffering you overcome. Hallelujah. By the battle you wage, you are building in you. Hallelujah. The nature of the living Christ. This is what God is saying here. The thing must be done in human flesh. You notice I quoted a lot of scriptures. I didn't turn you to them. You know them by heart. That the angels are seeking into certain matters pertaining to the church. That God has ordained that the gospel should be revealed to the church. Christ should be revealed through the church militant. The church on earth here. Not the one up there, the church on earth here. The reason is that the saints who have died and gone on, they cannot fight the devil anymore. They cannot overcome anymore. They cannot lose a battle anymore. They cannot sin anymore. They cannot be tempted anymore. Any overcoming that is to be done in you. Do you wonder now why God put you into certain desperate circumstances? Are you still worrying about God letting you loose with the devil? Are you still not understanding that you must get into these circumstances in order to overcome them? And finally, when we are ready, we will go into death in order to overcome it. Death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? God is bringing us to the stage where we will even overcome death.
Lord.
When death is overcome, the other people who are alive won't have to die. Some of us sitting here tonight who will never die. I believe it with all my heart. Not because I am preaching a false doctrine, but because I believe we are so near to the time when the sons of God will come forth, that I know, that I know, that I know that some of you sitting here will never die. That you will change from mortal to immortal, from life to life. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us go on a little and understand what we are reading. If you turn to chapter 9 of Revelation, you'll see here that this is the sixth trumpet. And the sixth trumpet has the same looks of the sixth seal. In the sixth seal, we read about the river Euphrates. In the sixth trumpet, we turn around and we read the same thing. And the sixth angel sounded verse 13. And I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels, which are bound in the river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, and when we prepared, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000, and I heard the number of them. 200,000,000. We read that this morning. And if you check again with Revelation 16, you see the same horsemen coming to battle. And I want you to know that the Word of God is here a little, there a little, and it forms a picture. Amen? When a man gets to preach, God show him the picture. And he tries to unfold it to you so that you might see the picture. But the word earthquake refers to wars. Jesus Christ said before his coming there would be a great war. The scriptures speak of a great earthquake. Now we turn again to Isaiah and see what Brother Isaiah said here. 25. For verse 4, for thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. Thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers as the heat in a dry place, even the heat with the shadow of a cloud. The branch of the terrible ones shall be brought low. For those who weren't here this morning, we are talking about an atomic explosion. The heat and the cloud. This is what the scripture is talking about. Let's read a little further. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, as feast of wines and the lees of fat things, full of marrow of wines on the lees, well refined. Let me show you the feast. Hold on to that scripture and turn to Daniel. Turn back to Daniel 12. Just keep a marker in that scripture and you see the feast here. Daniel 12 says, and at that time, first verse, shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Can you imagine, brethren, that every human being that is to be saved will be saved all of a sudden one time? Can you imagine the kind of harvest that we would have? This is the great feast God is talking about. I'm going to show you a little thing again. Get back to Revelation. We're strained, but we'll get back to this. Go to Revelation 12 again. And you will see there Michael. You remember? This scripture speak of Michael, the archangel, standing up for his people. Revelation 12 tells me in verse 7 that, and there was war in heaven. Who? Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. So you notice how the scriptures correlate? Let's get back to Isaiah and show you some more things there. Verse 7 says, and he, God, will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off the faces, and the rebuke of his people shall be taken away from off the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. Talk about the rebuke of the people of God. You ever had a loved one sick? And with all the power that God give us, you cannot deliver. Amen. Isn't that a rebuke? Hallelujah. God says he's going to take away the rebuke. Hallelujah. Tell you what happened. Satan is trying to work on us. This place is supposed to be cool. Let's just thank God for the cool air condition. Amen. This place is supposed to be cool. The air condition is supposed to work. It's supposed to make us cool and feel comfortable. But the devil is trying to torment us, to make your minds get dull. Let us all just raise our hand and thank God for the air condition. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, Rabba, Kashaka, Rama, Koshaka, Rabba, and I. Thank you, Jesus. Satan, you are a liar. Yes, we speak against you, Satan. You're a liar from the beginning. Truth you never did abide in. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Yes. And so, we see here a certain condition. Heat, cloud, war. We take another scripture that we had this morning. We go back to Joel. Take Joel and put Joel with Isaiah. If you're going to be overcomers, you must have fortitude. You mustn't give up for a little heat or anything like that. Amen. They're reading about heat. He's talking about millions of degrees of heat. Heat so terrible that it melts the rocks. This is what atomic and hydrogen bombs are. This is what they have stored up. This is what they have pointing at this city, this very moment that we are sitting here. Their trigger finger will never work unless God says, okay, my people are sealed, you can go ahead. Do you understand? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, in this second chapter of Joel, we look again on what God is saying. Verse 31. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. You wouldn't want it to be plainer than that. God is bringing a people to deliver the rest of the people. And this is what God's doing to you tonight, to tell you, be of good cheer, be strengthened. When you hear of the wars, when you hear of the rumors of war, don't get frightened. Be strong, for you are going to have the greatest harvest in the history of the world.
Hallelujah.
The greatest harvest is ahead of us. In the history of the world, get your Bible sharp. Get your mind ready. Get your heart and soul ready. And when you see the destruction coming, say, thank God for souls.
Glory.
Amen. All right, let's read the bad verse now. Amen. Verse 30. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. You hear that? Did Isaiah say smoke? Well, Joel says smoke. But you know what blesses me with Joel? Joel tells you plain out that there's going to be a great revival. Amen. The verse above that says that, and your servants and upon your handmaiden, in those days will I pour out my spirit. So the Spirit of God will be poured out again, even as at Pentecost. As a matter of fact, the latter rain will be greater than the former. Pentecost will be child's play to what God is doing to us and is about to do to us in this hour. So the people of God must know what we are doing and not have heart. Rejoice when you see all these things begin to come to pass, because our redemption draweth nigh.
Glory.
I'm tired of seeing false preaching. I'm tired of seeing false church. I'm tired of seeing people playing church. I'm tired of seeing people playing with God. I want to see action. Hallelujah. I have nothing to lose. I booked my ticket for heaven. And anytime it is, you know, it's just anytime. It's okay. So if I am one of those who God say, boy, you better die, I say, thank you, Jesus. I've made it. But I'm not looking to death. I'm looking to life. I'm looking to life and more life. Amen. I'm too interested in what God is doing to think about dying. You know, that's God's affair. He's the one that keeps me anyhow. One day I took my life out there and I had a gun and I was going to take my life. And God says, I want it. He says, if you're going to give it away, you might as well give me. Amen. So I handed it over to him. And since then, it doesn't occur to me that I have a life to live in this world. Very little. And so, praise God, you can take the scriptures, please, and read them for yourselves. I hope you'll take the scriptures that we have mentioned, because we cannot mention all the scriptures. Amen. And I'm going to stop here. And you know, one time I told a man, I said, it was 10 o'clock. And he was calling me to start the message at 10. They have been having church from 7. And at 10 he called me and said, we're ready for the message now. So I turned to the preacher and said, it is late. He said, late for what? You think it's late? Late for what? Amen. Hallelujah. It's never too late to get into some scriptures. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to close right here.